Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year and all that sort of stuff. Wanted to come back to you with an episode before the end of the year. And it's a really good one. We have got a catch up with our old mate, Brian Garcia. Haven't heard from him for a little while. Spoke to him a couple of years ago now. And really good catch up with Brian. Talked about a few items he's picked up. And just generally what's going on in his world. So if you don't know, Brian is the greatest Oasis collector in the world over in Texas and a lovely, lovely guy as well. So we get into all that. Also, as you heard at the start there, Noel Gallagher has given us a little late Christmas, early New Year's present, which is that he's just dropped a new tune, which is a demo. And he was very, very keen to point out it is a demo. But yeah, new song from Noel Gallagher. So very exciting to get that. Let's have a little bit more, shall we? Tonight, gonna let that dream take flight. But when the morning comes, and you wake up by my side. Love, real love, is all I'm thinking of. Give it half a chance and the world might find a way. So, yeah, what do we think? I asked on Twitter what people thought, and we had quite a few responses. Let's go straight to you guys. Andy Middleton said, I think it's great, really like it, improves with each listen. That tonight bit reminds me of a 70s disco tune by Donna Summer or something, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Nick from the Alltones, voice sounds great, nice positive song and clearly trying to keep everybody's spirits up. Much prefer that Noel then to Conspiracy Noel, and a perfect B-side for Liam Gallagher or You're Dreaming Of. Sean McLaughlin says, shades of him coming back to his soul. Wee touch of Lila guitar at the start. Great uplifting lyrics. Well happy with that. Tom Moen said, I expected to hear after the intro, are you hanging up your stocking on the wall? Drew McClellan, yep, I like it. Feels very immediate. Richard Bowes, wonderfully life-affirming lyrics, full of British songwriter joy, and obviously a needed message right now. Columbia Pins, nice uplifting song that. SJB has the sound of a TV theme tune about it. J. Faye the YY, really liking it. Wardy 84, I like it, pretty upbeat, think it's good. Brits and Pieces, I like it, similar to first album stuff, I like it how it is, just release it. Demos have come a long way, haven't they? Interesting point. It's a demo. Well, what does that mean? What else are you going to do with it? You know, well, then you've got things like Angel and Child demo that was called demo, but it came out anyway, and there was never a proper version. So what does that even mean? Bit weird. And the fact it's only sort of been come out on YouTube as of right now, so whether it will be on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, does that mean it's not an official release, like a single? It's just a YouTube video? Weird. Anyway, don't matter. Matty Bryant said, got the fight against COVID running through it. Some real meaningful lyrics and good overall sound. Really like it. Lyrics, I didn't really like. I thought it was kind of just all song title lyrics, like Noel tends to do. You know, don't fight the feeling. Okay, well, that's a song. Keep, you know, don't stop believing. Well, that's a song. He's just like listing song titles, which I don't think is that great. I think that the title has a nice message to it. I think there's a couple of nice little lines in there. But other than that, like, you know, roll the dice, don't think twice or whatever. I'm like, oh, come on, Noel. Like, that's not for me. I much prefer, you know, things that are a little bit off kilter or we haven't heard before. Like, I love the line, you know, kisses unrehearsed from All You're Dreaming Of. You know, something like that, I think is much, you know, just surprise me with something. Don't just be like, I can guess what the next line's going to be as soon as I hear the, you know, what it's got to rhyme with kind of thing. Don't fight the fear. bestseller of the same name says, like it, defo need work on the mix, etc. But the song is great, nice melodies, old school uplifting Noel lyrics. Could have been a banger with better production and a video, etc. Hopefully a hint at what his new tunes are like. Yeah, video was interesting. It was just sort of random shots being repeated of like drone footage of empty cities, which I suppose is summing up the fact that, you know, the cities are empty at the moment with, or they have been in the various lockdowns we've had. So I imagine that's what that's about. Steph Tiller says, I like it. Noel back to doing what he is best at. He can't with this stuff. He's called boring or beige. And if he does the more different stuff, he is slagged off. I appreciate this new song. Steve_83, really liking it on first couple of listens. Think most will too, as it's kind of safe. NGHFB sound could easily be off either of the first two albums. Come On You Know, who is at Ricochet 2017, says, like it, like back to NGHFB first album. Should hopefully see more like this if he's doing it all at home. David Nolan, very early NGHFB, I like it. Marcella Woodcock, yeah, like it. Sounds like it could be off the earlier NGHFB albums, which were his best stuff, I reckon. Justin Hancock's just gave a couple of thumbs up. Francisco, who is at Cardoso R. Fran, said, I love it. Is a demo, so maybe I'd like to see a few changes in the mix, but is amazing. Jake Borden, best song he's put out in a long time. The Years, bright, melodic, poignant. Paul Beeman, got a lot of an Oasis B-side to it. Yeah, I can feel that. Just in the like that sort of Oasis B-side stuff, it does have a couple of tinges of Oasis B-side. I think in the there's a couple of like chords in there and a couple of little moments that are like, oh, that's a really interesting chord. You know, there's a couple of bits where the melody over the chord works really nicely. But yeah, overall, I get that TV theme tune kind of point as well. It's got a touch of David Essex. Hold me close, don't let me go. Oh no, that tune. Yeah, and it has got that bit of a TV theme tune about it, but that's fine. I like that. There's nothing wrong with that. Tonight, gonna let that dream take flight. But when the morning comes and you wake up by my side, hold me close, don't let me go. Oh no, I love you and I think that you know. Stickley, thankfully the dance act is put to one side and we're back to great songwriting and great melodies for which he's famous for. Flemo, 1983, what a little stunner and no disco in sight. Marcus Marsden, welcome back. Bog Boy, I like it, better than his recent album. Hopefully that's him over his Neil Young trans phase now. Amanda Harrell, amazing, touching, heartfelt, brilliant. Andy Riley, it's like one of the original songs written for a Peter Kay show that sounds like David Essex and Gary Barlow. Yes, Andy, that's where I've got the David Essex thing from. That was your tweet. Well done. Matt Eyre says, my problem is that whenever Noel puts anything out these days, I can't help but think, oh man, you should have saved that one for the Oasis reunion album. Yeah, don't be saving anything for any reunion albums. We are not going to get that anytime soon. Nick at Mr. Nick 1980, I like it, kind of Oasis B-side-ish. And Clay, the Free American fan, said, not such a bad thing. I think a lot of their best tracks were B-sides. He had an embarrassment of riches back then. Mark Nolden, nice, very chasing yesterday with a hint of later Oasis B-side. Stu Arben, like it. Suddenly everyone's a producer and wants to improve the mix. Just enjoy it. Yeah, good point. I mean, I'm not an expert producer or whatever. I don't really tend to mind whether things are demos or official releases. I'm all about melody. Melody and chords is what I'm all about. But yeah, I think it's well produced, it's well put together. I like the fact you can hear the acoustic guitar, you can hear that kind of, yeah, that Lila-ish electric guitar throughout it as well. It's cool. And Callum at Spitfire Cal, another classic. Yeah, and that's that. So, yes, I really liked it. As I say, my main issue with it as I was listening to it was the lyrics. I just thought, oh, come on, Noel, like, you know, don't just rewrite song titles for the lyrics. But generally, I think it's good, and especially those kind of little chords where you think, oh, that's it, it's interesting, it's gone a different route there. You know, that's the big thing for me, those little moments of like where it goes to like an interesting chord that you're not quite expecting. I really like, and I think the hook Going back to the title, it was really strong. So there you go. That is the new tune from Noel Gallagher, although it is just a demo, remember. Right, no other news really to pick up on for now. So let's go into my interview with the legendary Brian Garcia. Happy Christmas, happy holidays, yeah, Merry, all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Ready to take on 2021 and get past, hopefully, this coronavirus. We'll see if it mutates into something we can't control. So,
we've got that already over here. Don't worry, we've got the mutant strain. I'm hoping it might give me like Wolverine claws or something, but I think I don't think it's that type of mutation, unfortunately. I'd be licking the door handles and stuff. Great. Energy blasts or something. That'd be good.
Don't be a babysitter. It'd be bad for kids.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dear, oh, dear. All right, well, I already hit record. Should we just go?
Yeah. Yeah, let's get into it, man.
Yeah, welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the legendary.
Thank you.
The greatest Oasis collector in the world. I'm one of the nicest people in the world. Oasis DNA, Brian Garcia. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
That's all right.
Doing good.
We said £5, okay, yeah?
£5 an accolade.
How's life?
Life is great, man, you know. Got health, you know, considering what the world is going through. No big casualties or anything down here. So, you know, hopefully we can all get through it together, and hoping 2021 will bring us all sunny skies and rainbows.
Yeah, that would be good. If you can have a word and try and sort that out or something. I don't know if you've got connections, but that would be great.
I try not to let you down.
So what did you have planned for 2020, and what did 2020 end up being for you?
Right. So, 2020, I was going to go, down with, Brian and maybe do a little bit more promoting on, the Oasis collection and hopefully, a museum or something, but, that is completely gone to the back. In the meantime, the collecting is still serious, but it seems like the big ticket items have kind of like slowed down. It hasn't been like, and that goes for everybody. You know, I have, I think the pandemic has had people, let go of some items that I have got a hold of. But it hasn't been anything like it has in the past. In the past, it'd be like something daily, all the time. It's just not.
Was there any news on the Nick Brine's Wonderwall guitar?
No, you know what? I chatted with him for a little bit, and I was going to get in contact with him. And he's a super busy guy, and I don't want to bother him, but I will. I'll be in contact with him again and see what he says. If he's even, willing to do something about that. But, and if it's not that, something else always comes up. That's how collecting goes,
Yeah.
When you lose something, you feel a little defeated, but in the long run, everything kind of works out the way it needs to.
Yeah, sure. And we had I put you in touch with Nick Egan, didn't I? The video director. I think you might have got a few bits and pieces from him.
Yeah, Nick's a great, very. He's just a gentleman through and through, and he's very. He's very organized in the way he ships things, which as a collector is like very important. So he's great communication, super nice guy. He ended up getting all the paperwork from him for the Go Let It Out music video, stage designs, fact sheets. I think there was a budget sheet in there. There was, that note that Liam was holding in the music video and he signed it.
Yeah, the naught pound note, that he slams into the Queen's face. Yeah, we got if people haven't, if you check out the Instagram, Nick was, kind enough. And then yourself, Brian, as a new owner of a lot of these items, kind enough to let me put up pictures of these. And they work really well with the episode as well, because Nick talks quite a lot about, the different ideas for Go Let It Out and how that sort of changed over the time. And so it is cool to just have a flick through the Instagram and have a look at these different items and think, oh yeah, wow, it is crazy really how these things, we just see the finished article and go, oh, that was a cool video. But the amount of work and ideas and everything that goes into this stuff, it's crazy really. So it's really cool to have a lot of that stuff now.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. To kind of emphasize the point you said, like, you don't understand as a fan how much work goes into these videos, because I was looking through some of this paperwork and just the custom fabrication, the drawings, just the drawings alone like blew my mind. Like, I can't draw a dog. It looks like King T. And these guys were, and hand drawn like stages, and to have all that custom made is actually, it's incredible the undertaking that goes into these music videos. When, as a fan looking at it, you're just like, oh, they're just standing around. They just rented a bus and that's it.
Yeah.
It
is amazing, so isn't it?
Really, it's really neat to go through all that paperwork and see all the money, the time, the planning that went into it. So yeah, gives you a new appreciation for filmmaking and music and music videos in general.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But anyway, for you on a personal level, how's the year been? And you've been okay. You said you stayed healthy. You've got a little growing family as well, haven't you?
Yeah, growing family. Oasis is going to enter kindergarten in a few months. Nirvana's getting big. Business on the initial COVID hit was really bad. Honestly, I was scared, I was financially scared like I have never been before, because, the unexpected, closing my business, and it was a mandate to close my business down. So it's not like you can get around it and be like, oh, we'll just do something different. But luckily we were allowed to stay open because I do have a drive through. Like my dining was closed by law.
Right.
But we do have a drive through and we had delivery service. So a few weeks after the initial close down, like, business started really booming, which was good. And, like everything, it has a, it levels out. We're all getting through it, and hopefully business gets back to normal. Other businesses have opened here. It's like, here in Texas, it's funny. I don't know if it's funny or sad, however you want to look at it, but there's just disregard for, it's almost like Corona doesn't exist anymore. Everybody's open, people are doing whatever they're doing. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you don't, you don't have to. Versus, England, or the UK, or Europe in general, it's very serious. They take it, they take it very seriously. Or adhering to a very cavalier attitude, kind of like, oh yeah, blah blah blah. Some people, Corona doesn't exist. But you have all sorts. But it's just interesting to see the discrepancies between, specifically Texas, because I know California isn't like that. It's not all U.S. It's like it's like a very Texas thing.
Right. Is there a certain spirit in the people of Texas that they're like, look, we're Texans, we do what we want, kind of thing?
It's almost like it's Texas and then the rest of the U.S. anybody who's a U.S. you know, U.S. citizen, or you know, understands how Americans are, can understand, like, if you go on vacation anywhere, like let's say I go to Massachusetts, right? You're on this tour with people from all over the, you know, all over the country, all over the U.S. You know, you're on this, you're on like this tourist boat, and you know the tourist guide is like, "Hey, everybody, where y'all from?" You know, the loudest people on that boat will be like, "We're from Texas," and they'll be waving their hand. You're just like, "Oh my god, yeah, we're very proud of our state." Something about,
yeah, but Texas is like, it's
the
like
in the water.
Oh, is that it? Oh, fair enough. But then Texas is like 4 or 5 times the size of the United Kingdom anyway. So,
yeah,
you know, there's, well, yeah, you say Texas, but Texas is like massive. You know, it's bigger than most European countries, isn't it? So it's like there's within one Texas, you've got, you know, all these different places. Like Austin, I imagine, is very different to Dallas, which is very different to the stuff on the border.
Totally,
you know,
different. Mm. Oh, yeah, totally. You go down to the border, you wouldn't even recognize Austin versus a border town at all. Mm. Like, night and day, you think you're in another country.
Yeah, fair play. I was just having a look in your Instagram, so just want to ask about a couple of items, if that's all right. It's just
sure.
You posted
sure, absolutely
recently. Gwigsy, the neck of Gwigsy's black Fender jazz bass, love that. Was that a recent addition, or is that just something that you're just sort of digging out and photographing your collection?
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of really cool things that nobody knows that I have. Really not at liberty to let them out yet. But that was one of the things that I've had for a while now. So that was the neck on his old Black Fender jazz bass. You can see it like on a lot of early gigs. It's on their first tour, you know, Water Rats. It was on the cover Supersonic. So what happened was Gwigsy's bass wasn't keeping tune. So later on they had the neck replaced with another one on the body, and Roger Noel kept the bass neck, and now it's with me. So, which is a really cool, you know, it comes with the COA and everything, the serial numbers, which all match the insurance paperwork, which is, as a collector, super exciting to know that it was there. It's pretty, it's like a breathing piece of history.
Absolutely. And what the hell happened to the body? Why is it in two bits?
Well, the body has a new neck on it, right? So they put a new neck on it.
Oh,
because it wasn't keeping tune.
Got ya.
So they took that neck off, put a new neck on it, and it's with the bass now, which I believe Wigsy still has.
Fair enough. All right, that makes sense then. Sorry, I didn't get what you meant earlier. That's fine. That makes sense. I thought maybe
he's selling the bass piece by piece.
Yeah, right. You might get a few bit more money for it that way, I suppose.
If anybody wants a tuning knob, £500.
I might take you up on that, mate. Do you have any contact with Gwigs? I know that your fellow collector Kyle had got a meeting with Gwigs recently, got some bits and pieces signed, which was very surprising. Which I, because I'm never aware of him doing anything like that, so I was really impressed for Kyle. If people don't know, Kyle Dale has the Oasis Collectors group on Facebook. Which I know you're a member of as well, aren't you? As
right, yeah. Kyle is he has got massive dedication to me. I thought my dedication was pretty intense, which it is. But Kyle's dedication to, you know, helping the community too is actually, it blows my mind. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he finds the energy to do it. Which it's a lot. And I can understand when people like message you and ask for things, and he follows through, man. Credit to him, he follows through. He runs a group. He's got his own personal life. He's got a great family. He's got two little boys and a wife. to be doing all that is incredible. And like you said, to meet Gwigsy, I'm not sure how he did it, but it was pretty neat to see. It's almost like catching Nessie and having him get away.
It is amazing. And just to say, I always, if ever you know, people contact me and say, oh, I'm looking to sell some original vinyl, or I'm looking to sell, you know, if it's that sort of thing, you know, and anyone listening that's like, oh yeah, I think I might buy some signed vinyl, or I think I might buy, you know, not like, this isn't like top end stuff, but you know, just your typical like good stuff for a collection. That Oasis Collectors Group is a really good place. Don't just charge into eBay, because you will get ripped off. Like, you know, there's so many chances out there, isn't there? Whereas if you speak to someone like Kyle in that group, they will point you in the right direction. They know exactly what a Noel Gallagher signature should look like. You know, I've had a couple of people that have contacted me like, oh, you know, have a look at this BDI album that I bought. Like, yeah, I got it for £100 on eBay. I'm not sure if the signatures are correct. And it's like, you've been done, mate. You've been done. Yeah. You know, you've got to, don't do it. Just go through the experts, you know. And I know, obviously, you know, like people like yourself and Carl, it's what's so great, I think, about this community of collectors is you'd think it would be very cutthroat and people trying to undercut each other.
Yeah.
And it's really not, you know, it's really not. It's really does. It's a great community spirit. And it really does feel that people look out for each other and they're just pleased when someone gets a good piece. They're pleased about it. It doesn't feel like there's any sort of jealousy or negativity.
Yeah, no, there's no, it doesn't feel like there's any competition. Everybody's grail is different, which makes collecting special. I mean, because not everybody collects the same things. Everybody's always supportive. You know, nothing is, you know, laughed at, because we all started somewhere. I know, as a collector, it's funny you say that about, you know, being done in with the fake signatures on eBay, because I have like, I don't know, I have about 10, 15 fake signatures in my collection. Well, I don't even know if I'd consider that part of my collection, but stuff that I have, you know, obviously I'm not going to ever resell it. But, you know, I was done in early on too. I have fake, you know, fake signed CDs, fake signed pieces of paper, you know, and all because my eyes got so big on eBay, you know, and that's, you know, it's almost it says something about the person, like, you know, you're trusting because, you know, you're a trustworthy person. So you think everybody else is going to be trustworthy, you know, and these people are honest, and that's what hurts the most when you see people being duped. Because you see their eyes get big and you know they have like an honest soul and they're just excited to own something that was in the hands of, you know, their musical heroes. To take advantage of that is not very cool. So, you know, Kyle does a great service by having a group like that to help people out, you know, get people started, you know, where to look, how to look, what to look out for. Kudos to him, and a great group to have, a great group of guys in there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just another one, but just scrolling through your Insta, you've got the Wonderwall frame.
right, yeah.
That is a hell of a piece. The Wonderwall frame, was that from Mr. Cannon?
That was actually from Michael Spencer Jones. It's funny that one came up, like I wasn't even looking for that. I remember where I was. I was coming out of the bedroom, walking into the kitchen, and I was reading an email from Michael, and it said, you know, hey, Brian, hope everybody's well. Don't know if you'd be interested, but, and that's the last thing I saw, and I blacked out after I started getting all excited. So he offered me the frame. know, we made a deal, came to an agreement. And that was that, which was, you know, thank you to Michael for you know, reaching out to me. Mm. And it's funny, like a few pieces have landed to me that way. Like oh my goodness, what am I thinking of now? Like the Flying V, same thing happened with that. They reached out to me. I didn't go seek it. They reached out to me. What the real machine and the master tapes that were used to record a live demonstration that happened the same way. So, you know, if anybody's wondering, it's not really, this is not so much credit to me, the size of this collection and the pieces that I have, you know, which I do dedicate a lot of time and I'm very adamant, very passionate. A lot has been help from other people, you know, contacts, you know. So it hasn't been something I've done by myself. You know, it's taken an army and a team of good friends and making contacts and keeping great relationships with people. And I carry the same sentiment from, you know, my practical business, my daily business, you know, collecting business. You treat people right, you do things honestly, keep your nose clean, then people recognize that. And you know, what's going to happen is going to happen, and the good things happen to the good, you know, your good actions.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun ride, and hopefully it's not over anytime soon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just jumped on Twitter before we started speaking. I just asked if anyone's got any questions for you. So here we go.
Okay.
And this is one I wanted to know. Will you ever release the studio recording of I Am the Walrus, which you apparently own?
Wow. Who knows? Maybe I might, never say never, because not only might I release it, I may let the tape go. Trade for something. You never know. Nothing's out of the question for me. You know, maybe right time and right place. You know, it's, maybe on the opening of the museum, I'll play it over the speakers and release it. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
How does it work as far as you're aware? I don't know if we talked about this in the previous one. How does it work in this sort of thing? So if Ignition or the publisher or whoever contacts you and said, that is our property, like that recording is our property and you must give it to us. I mean, have you any idea what does that work? Like, if you physically bought that from someone, or how does that even work? I don't know what the legalities of that would be.
I you know what? I don't know either, and I'm not going to pretend that I do, but I'm going to go ahead and pretend that I do. So, here we go. You know, I don't think the actual cassette would be something they'd want to have, because if there's a digital copy out there, it's like, you know, what's the use in having an actual cassette?
Sure.
I do know for a fact, for example, like the unheard version of Columbia that I have with Chris Griffith and Liam singing dual vocals, which hasn't been released. I own the master tape to that, right? So I know Ignition has a recording of it. So I'm not sure if they'd go after the master tape. You know, Noel, if you're listening to this, be easy on me, man. Don't take it away from me. You know, so I'm not really sure how it works, but I think I would hope they wouldn't want the actual cassette, and they'd just be like, you know what, don't release it. Which hasn't been the reason I don't release them. And I'm glad that we're touching on this point now, because I do get asked a lot. So I'm going to answer this question, which I'm sure people after this interview is over are going to want to know, like, Brian, like, you have all this unheard stuff. Like, why don't you release it? Like, why are you a hoarder? I've been called a hoarder. I've been called, you know, greedy, the Live Forever forums, that I'm just a show off because I don't, that I'm, that I'm, or in the, quote, I've been holding them over all the fans' head, which is not the case. But to be clear on that, like, as a collector, when I say serious collector, I don't mean to sound like anybody's more or less than I am or whatever. But it does take a certain amount of effort, takes a certain amount of energy, time, resources, money to acquire these things. And when you have that much of your life invested in a cassette or whatever it is, whether it sounds sad or not, just to let it out like that, I don't think anybody in their right mind, if they were to, you know, be in my place, would let it out as an investment. And that doesn't go for everything. That just goes for like the unheard things.
Sure.
You know, because I don't mind showing other things that, you know, I've taken a lot of work and time and effort to acquire. But the recordings are very special. And if you look at, you know, historically, the more unseen and the more unheard, the more valuable. And I'm not in it for money. I'm not in it for, you know, but I do think it's important to protect your investment as well. You have to look at it from both sides. It's fun, but it's also an investment, because if you're going to invest so much of your life into it, you have to protect something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, the mad thing for me is that, like, you know, we get these re-releases, like in the last couple of years, we've had the re-release of Definitely Maybe and the re-release of Morning Glory. And yet all they've done is put out a bit of vinyl, and they've not put out any extra stuff. And we know the Studio Walrus exists. Like, I'm assuming they do have a master copy somewhere, a digital copy they could have put out.
I would imagine if it's on a cassette, I'm sure they have to have a master copy somewhere.
Yeah. And, or they've got your phone number, right? They could just say, oh, actually, yeah, Brian, we're re-releasing Definitely Maybe this year. Why don't we stick the bloody Studio Walrus as a bonus track? And then I'd buy it then. You know what I mean? I didn't buy it just for the vinyl, but if it's a, hold on a minute, we got something new here. Same as like Canon's a cassette tape of the from the Wonderwall sessions. Like,
oh my God, that is so amazing to hear. Like, excuse my language, but fucking amazing to hear. Noel is sitting on a wall outside. Like, so Noel is outside. He's sitting, he's not in the studio. He's sitting outside. Like, you can hear like birds chirping and shit.
Yeah.
And he's strumming on this guitar. And that's the first and only time I've ever heard it. Absolutely incredible to hear him strum. And it's just like, wow, that's why Wonderwall sounds the way it does.
Mm.
It's incredible. It is incredible to hear him, you know, do a take and then a second take. And then you hear Owen. I'm not sure where Owen is. He must be either in the studio or something, listening to him on the headphones or something. I don't know how it works, but Owen was talking as well. I don't remember exactly what was said because it's been a long time since I've heard it, but you know, Owen was talking to him and then Noel's talking back and they're having like a short conversation and then Noel just like busts into Wonderwall. Like, wow. So yeah, that's really fucking cool.
We need, you know what I mean? Like, why not put that out? You know, why not just talk to Canon and say, look, Brian, come on, let's just put that out. Like, you know, you put that out as a digital download. I would buy all of that. You know, like if that, say that's like eight tracks of eight versions of Wonderwall and the Studio Chatter, I'd pay a fiver for that, you know, guaranteed. Yeah. You know? Oh, anyway.
It's really cool. Like, that's one of the most incredible, I guess, like moments, of, you know, Oasis collection journey, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. It was really cool.
Cool. Who have we got? Arsenal Chris says, what item from any other band would you like?
Item from any other band. You know what I want? I know there were some amps used on the back line of the first night of Nebworth. I'm not sure who owned that. But yeah, the amps used on stage at Nebworth, which were the back line from, and they, not all the amps belonged to Oasis that night. So I guess some of those. Okay.
And what about Nirvana? I mean, I know you've, I knew you were, when we spoke before, you were a massive Nirvana fan, and you, Obviously, you call one of your children Nirvana. And so would you, is Nirvana something else that you you collect stuff from them, or have you just focused on the Oasis side?
I have focused just on the Oasis side now, just because the Nirvana memorabilia is so expensive. So I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast, but I was offered the shirt that Kurt Cobain wore in the Heart-Shaped Box music video.
No way.
Silver. Yeah, I was offered to that. So thanks to Melissa Lim, who was, not, if people don't know, Melissa was the girl that Noel wrote Talk Tonight about.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, Melissa and I are friends. She contacted me and she said, hey, Brian, she's like, I know you're into Nirvana. My friend is selling the shirt that Kurt wore in the Heart-Shaped Music Box music video. Would that be something you'd be interested in? Absolutely. So she gave me the details of her friend. Her friend ended up being like some, she was on America's Next Top Model. She was the winner or whatever. And I was like, whoa, I was like, I didn't even know that. Long story short, I made a very large offer to her for the shirt. She ended up denying it. She was super nice. Like, we talked for, you know, a few days. Finally came to an agreement. I made an offer. She said, let me sleep on it. Let me talk to my husband about it. I thought she was going to accept it because she sounded really excited. She was like, wow. She, yeah, that sounds like a great prize. Let me talk to my husband about it. Hey, wait, I got- Next day she calls me back and was like, no, we think we can get 3 times the amount for it. And I was like, wow, okay. I was like, okay, like, what are you gonna do? She's like, we're gonna put it at auction. So she put it in auction. I was a little, you know, bummed out. But as it goes with most things, that the more you see it, the less you want it. That shock, that initial shock, and that at least makes me really want. So about two months passed and finally went up at auction. And it ended up hammering. The hammer price was about $6,000 or $7,000 less than my private offer. So they took home not just less than hammer price, but even less, because, you know, the auction house takes, you know, some off of that.
Yeah.
And I would know, who knows? Like, I didn't know what the hammer price would be. Nobody really knows. But I think I have a good sense of, value for memorabilia in general. But, you know, you win some and you lose some. And, you know, she was really, really nice about it. She messaged me like minutes after the auction was over. And she's like, oh, my God, I should have sold it to you. I'm so sorry. I was like, hey, like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You win some, you lose some. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, you know, it may seem like a loss at first, but in the end, you know, you always, things seem to pop up around. Yeah. So, and we're still friends. We're still friends on Instagram. She's a super nice lady. Super cool. But cool. Yeah, so that's what happened with the Nirvana stuff.
Awesome.
Basically, Nirvana is just too expensive to collect. Especially for the things that I want. Like, I want like Smash guitars, and the MTV Unplugged guitar sold, what, about 4 months ago for $6 million, the highest price guitar ever sold at auction. Wow. Ever. Beats any Beatles guitar, beats anything. That's incredible. $6 million.
I remember reading about that a while back. Is it because he's dead? Like, is it because does it, I mean, I remember reading about this. I've got I met Muhammad Ali at a book signing when I was 12, and so I've got a book signed by Muhammad Ali. And it's probably the only sort of memorabilia I've got, really. And I remember talking to someone about it and them saying, like, oh, well, you know, hold on to it, because, you know, sadly, when he goes, actually, then the price will go up, because And I suppose it makes sense, doesn't it? If you've got someone like a Noel Gallagher signature, Noel could do another 2,000 signatures a year, every year for the rest of his life. When it's a finite amount of signatures or a finite amount of items, then obviously I suppose the value will go up.
Yeah, and it's like that in collecting, and it happens every time, like Kobe Bryant. As soon as he passed away, unfortunately, all his things. Kobe Bryant is an NBA basketball player.
We know.
So things, skyrocket after they pass. And I think several things made that guitar sell for so much. Not just the fact that I think people are gonna probably laugh at me, but I think Nirvana was almost as important as the Beatles, generationally speaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Generationally speaking, if you compare generation to generation, the shift of the type of music and the dress, they influenced the dress. He influenced haircuts. He influenced style. He influenced music. He influenced emotion. So that whole shift, the dramatic shift, pinpointed in like music history, and the fact that MTV Unplugged was such a historic performance, probably one of the most, live, most historically, shocking, important, impressive performances, I would say, of all time.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and
go ahead.
No, and just an incredible performance as well. Obviously, it was like, it was a, because of then, the fact he died not so shortly afterwards, and then that went on to be absolutely massive over here. That was one of the first CDs I had that I absolutely hammered and loved before before I really got into Britpop and stuff. But yeah, I absolutely loved that. And it's probably the album of Nirvana's I've listened to the most, actually. So it's not just the iconography, it's not just the fact he died, but it's also amazing. These were amazing songs and an incredible performance.
Yeah, and all came off of that guitar, which in the history of that guitar is really sad too. Like, I think Courtney Love's boyfriend, when they broke up, ended up taking the guitar. He kept the guitar, and then he sold it at auction. I think, I can't remember what it sold for, but not that much. I think it sold for like $200,000. And then it disappeared for a while. And then I think he went back, and I can't remember how many times it's been resold. Don't quote me on this, once or twice. Ended up selling 4 months ago for $6 million, which is incredible.
That is crazy, isn't
incredible.
That is crazy. What was it? So just going back to our questions, we had Brits and Pieces asked, is there any item that you really want but can't actually find? Is there anything that's actually, we just don't know where it is?
You know what? I said this last time. Tony's drum kit, but I know who owns Tony's drum kit now. I'm trying to think of something or I don't know who has.
Yeah.
It's getting them to sell it is a problem. Finding it. You can only hide an elephant in so many places. I'm trying to think, man. As soon as this conversation is.
Or is there anything that's on your that you know people do have that's on your hit list that you're like, that is the one I want, that's the collection, that's the one for the collection?
Tony's drum kit. You know what, the orange amp for a long time was my holy grail, the one that was Noel's, mythical orange amp, but I ended up getting that. So I think Tony's drum kit now is is the one to have.
Fair enough. And how do you, I mean, something like the Orange Amp, and the same when you got the original recording stuff for the Real People's studio and stuff. I mean, just the logistics of, you got that shipped, you know, I mean, you've got the cost to, you know, the cost to actually buy the thing in the first place. But then, you know, I've just been posting out, you know, CDs to Patreon supporters and stuff, but it's a little bit different. How the hell do you even organize like getting a bloody amplifier or like, you know, an actual, this recording desk, that the mixing desk that the Real People, I mean, that's a beast of a piece of equipment to physically get shipped to Texas, you know?
Actually, the beast, you know, and I'll answer that, but the beast to get here was the Definitely Maybe couch.
Definitely Maybe couch.
Yeah, the sofa. That was that. Oh, or you know what was more work was the Studer machine. The Studer machine weighs like 800 pounds.
What's that one?
The Studer machine is the reel-to-reel machine that was used to record Standing on the Shoulder of Giants.
I've got it here. Yeah, there's your Instagram post. The Studer 800 Mark III multi-channel tape recorder. Wow, yeah, from Wheeler End. That is a beast, isn't it?
And it's not just that machine. It has this thing called a remote, which it looks like a little R2-D2 type thing. That goes with it. So it was two massive flight cases, and I think the Studer machine weighs 800 and the remote weighed another like 200 pounds. But yeah, that cost a lot. The couch, you know, they had to build a special crate for it. But props to I'll let you know if anybody's interested in shipping things. There's a company in the UK called Packinson. They're really professional. They will care for your item. They will make sure it doesn't break. They will custom build anything for whatever you're shipping. So Packinson, there's several locations throughout the UK, but they're the ones responsible for shipping Gwigsy's amps that were used at Nebworth and Main Road. They're also responsible for shipping the Orange Amp, Definitely Maybe couch, Studer machine, and a couple of guitars. So yeah, big props to them. They're super, super, they're efficient and professional. So
cool. All right. Well,
Ben, they went to go pick it up for me. So I called them from the UK. I was like, will you go to Paris and pick up the guitar? And they're like, yeah, no problem. So they went to Paris, picked it up, shipped it to me.
Wow. That's not bad, man. That's not bad. Yeah, that is crazy.
Great service.
And how are you? And so you, as this stuff grows and grows and grows, I mean, have you had to move house to accommodate this, or are you still just kind of piling everything kind of on top of everything right now?
No, well, we moved about 2.5 years ago to a much bigger house, probably about three times the size of our, probably double the size of our old house. Now three times. But anyway, so we had to move home. Because before, like, we didn't have a living room. All the shit was just in the living room because we just had a newborn baby. So putting an amp on in her crib was not an option. So we moved, and now there's still not enough room in the house. I have to put like a piano that was used on the recording of Don't Believe the Truth that's in the garage, the Studer machine flight cases in the garage, but everything else is inside the house.
Yeah. And do the kids know, like, not to don't touch that? Like, that's worth a lot of money.
You know, Oasis and Nirvana are pretty good about that. Like, and they don't touch these things because they have their own drum kit. They have like their own little Pearl drum kit. They each have their own little ukulele guitar. So if they ever want to, like, you know, bang on things or play guitar, like, you know, their dad, they can do that. So they're pretty good. And we have everything either hung up on the wall or, you know, the big machinery, like the Studer machine, nobody's going to hurt that. You know, they're not gonna reach to the top of it. And it's just a big metal box. So it's not much you can hurt.
Sure.
But yeah, they're really great kids, and they, you know, everybody takes care of everything.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, look, Brian, well, and then what's the plan for 21 then, assuming that this all this virus does go away? Obviously, you've got your main work is what the restaurant, I suppose. Hope that kicks back in when things go back to normal, and then what, hopefully you're going to get back over this side of the ocean again soon.
Yeah, as soon as as soon as this virus settles down, I'll be back over there and doing some things, nothing cut and dry yet, but as soon as it does die down, I will be over doing some things always just related. So yeah, hope everybody looks out for that. I'm excited for it. Hope everybody else is too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, well, look, anything else you want to tell me before we call it a day?
Yes, this is the greatest Oasis podcast on the internet, interweb, anywhere.
Well, thank you very much. And have you got a Christmas or holiday message for the listeners of the podcast, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I just hope no matter what you believe or who you are, where you are, I hope everybody has a safe and merry holiday, Christmas, or just another day of life. Just remember to always be of service to somebody anywhere. You can always give that gift to anybody any time of the year. Be compassionate, and good things will follow. And that's it. And hope everybody has a great and happy Merry Christmas and holidays.
Wonderful. Well, that's all a bit like serious and nice, actually. I was going to say, yeah, go on, go get pissed, right? And that's going to be more something like that. You've taken me aback there. But no, that's all good. All right, Brian. Well, look, it's really, really great to catch up again. And yeah, all the best for the new year. And let's hope to get you over this side of the ocean and hopefully do something and get this collection out. Let's get it back over and get all our...
Yeah, man.
British people.
That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. That'd be great. Still a lot of things that have not been seen. So we'll be looking out for that. There's a time and a place, and it will all come to the surface one day, which I'm excited to do. And I know I had a friend drive down from Colorado. Well, it wasn't even a friend. I don't know if I told you this, but I said on a podcast somewhere, I was like, if anybody ever wants to come see my collection at my house, shoot me a message. You could come. Sure enough, somebody on Instagram, her name's Rachel, she messaged me. She's like, hey, I want to come see your collection. Can I drive down to San Angelo? And I was like, yeah. So we came over to my house, and we spent 6 hours talking and going through my entire collection, which we didn't even finish, by the way.
Wow.
Rachel's seen everything. So she's seen the things that I can't upload, to the public yet.
she's seen things we'll never see.
That's right. There you go.
And what about our friend Grandpa Batman?
Yes. My buddy Kelly, he is a great guy. He's from Dallas, Texas. Yeah, he's been he sent me this Kurt Cobain. Actually, I'm looking at it right now, this Kurt Cobain, work of art, which is really cool. He just did that out of the kindness of his heart just to do it, which big props to him, Grandpa Batman, named Kelly Panther. Great guy. Thank you for that. I haven't heard from him. I know today, actually, by the way, is his anniversary. He uploaded a picture today. I think it's his 8th anniversary, so happy anniversary to Kelly. So yeah, it's funny he got mentioned today.
Yeah. Genuinely didn't know his name wasn't Grandpa Batman. I assumed it was, but I've always called him GB. I've always been like, all right, GB. How's it going? Never even bothered to ask the guy's real name. No, didn't even bother. It's interesting. Kelly. Well, maybe if your name's Kelly, yeah, you go by Grandpa Batman. Yeah.
If you and I are ever at a party, you're like, hey, this is Grandpa Batman.
I know. I do. Well, it was funny. When we did the Water Rats live event with Tony, the first one in May 19, and we were all saying, all the people that speak to each other on Twitter especially, we were like, oh, we'll all have to wear name badges with our at Twitter handles, because we're like, hey,
oh, of course, I know.
Because someone will come up and be like, all right, it's John, and be like, hello. It's like, oh no, I'm you know, I'm at this person. Oh, hello, mate. Like, you know, you can be messaging someone back and forth for like 2 years. And then it's like, oh, you're a real human being and you're not.
Oh, I know. I know. Like, I met a couple of people at the, you know, the museum, the BME, you know, on opening night. They're like, oh, Brian, you know, it's me, you know, Daniel. I'm like, Daniel, Daniel. They're like, pretty green, 1, 2, 3. I'm like, oh, yeah. What's up, Daniel?
It's brilliant. It was great. No, it's I really miss it. You see, we did I ended up doing 4 or 5 of those last year in 19, and and I was hoping this year we'd do another, you know, at least 2 or 3 or something, and then and talks for bigger things as well, and like Oasis Weekend, as we've talked about, that's the holy grail. I'd love to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And they have these Fest for Beatles fans, you know, they have that in I think Chicago every year, and I'd love to
Yeah, shout out to Definitely Maybe Bar, by the way. That'd be a cool meetup place as well.
That would be, yeah.
That would be really neat. So yeah, shout out to them and everything they've done down there, which is really cool. Hope to see them one day visit. But yeah, so hopefully all this stuff, you know, blows over and we can get back to you know, actually meeting people face to face.
Yeah, because we need each other, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We believe in each other.
Exactly. All right, look, I'll let you go and go and see your lovely family, but
all right, man, thank you, Brian, very much.
Pleasure as always, mate, and have a great always. Christmas and happy new year.
You too, my man. Speech Merry Christmas. All right.
There we go, Brian Garcia, the legend. Lovely message from Brian there of unity and friendship across all the Oasis fans, all the Oasis collectors, which I think is really important, and that's what we need to get back to and stick with. One other thing I just remembered was pointed out on regarding the new Noel tune. I think it was Andy earlier had said Tonight bit reminds him of a 70s disco tune by Donna Summer or something. And at El McCall 76 got it straight away. It's Gonna Get Along Without You Now by Viola Wills. Check this out. So yeah, very, very close. But that's Noel, isn't it? A random disco tune and David Essex, and there's a bit of Lila in there and a bit of a TV theme tune. Yeah, and yeah, it all comes out sounding like Noel Gallagher, which is very, very cool. All right, speaking of things that are very, very cool, I've had a message come in from our good friend, Jeff Slate, who wants to give us a holiday message.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeff Slate. Happy holidays to everyone in the Oasis and Britpop extended family, and especially to the Oasis podcast gang. James has really built something that brought us together, and in nearly 40 shows and the Some Might Say book this year, he brought us something that I think we could really count on and that we really needed this year, probably more than any. I'm grateful for that, and to all the friends and a few of you enemies out there that I've made, and some fans, even. And I'm really looking forward to 2021. We made it, gang. I toast you all. Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Jeff's been doing sterling work, doing sort of at-home shows, same as a lot of other musicians have, because Jeff, as well as being a great journalist and DJ, and he's also a brilliant musician as well. So make sure you're checking out his stuff. And I think that will about do it then. We'll say goodbye to 2020. Thank God, get this out of the way. And here's to a fantastic 2021. Thank you everyone who supported me throughout this year, who's listened, who's
commented, who's engaged with us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. It is really, really appreciated. You know, it means the world. This podcast has been a bit of a sanctuary for me over the last year, which has been absolutely fantastic. So I do really, really appreciate everyone that listens and everyone that gets in touch. It really does mean a lot. Here's to 2021, eh? And hopefully we'll get out and about again and do some more live stuff and can meet you in person. Might not be giving quite as many hugs and handshakes, but we'll see. Maybe we'll all get a vaccine and it'll be all right. So there we go. But so yeah, most thanks of all goes to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it's greatly appreciated. All the patrons that sent me their address got a card and a pin badge. There are still some pin badges going and some cards actually as well. If you want them, then just get in touch. I've been selling some off as well. So if you want to get in touch about that, then please do so on the social media, which is at Oasis Podcast on Instagram. No. At Oasis Pod on Instagram, at Oasis Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. So do please get in touch on there. And you can always email me, oasispod@gmail.com. If you can write a review on iTunes, that's always appreciated. And I think that's about it. So hope you're all well. Let's get this crap year out of the way and start afresh with a fantastic year to come. So stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young in 21.